Welcome back to Moms Unbothered, the show where we ditch the toxins, trust our instincts, embrace a healthy lifestyle, and don't care who it bothers. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Kate.
And today we're talking about Kate's birth, getting pregnant in college with her then boyfriend of only 4 months, and her mental and physical health struggles. Most don't know, but she was not a crunchy mom during pregnancy. She took the regular synthetic prenatals, did not know anything about nutrition, and even used aluminum deodorant. Surprisingly, though, in pregnancy, she was getting gut instincts to not blindly keep trusting what doctors were recommending her to do in pregnancy. In this episode, we talk about what led her to her crunchy mom journey, why she turned away from Western medicine, and why she felt she was forced to take her and her son's health into her own hands. Before we get into this, if you love conversations that challenge the status quo and help you level up your health, take 2 seconds to hit that like button, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or leave a quick review if you're a podcast listener. It helps more moms like you find this podcast. And let's be real, the more of us out there, the less we have to explain why we don't let our kids eat McDonald's. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Moms Unbothered. I'm Jordan and this is Kate, and I am introing us today because I will be interviewing Kate all about her birth story. And we are all very excited about this, and we've been talking about doing this for a long time. And so I'm glad it's finally here.
Yeah, I'm excited. Last time Jordan and I were going to record this, I wrote down all of my notes in my note app, and then I texted Jordan. I was like, honestly, I'm really triggered after writing this whole thing out, so can we just not? And we've just like been putting this off for what, months?
Yeah. Months.
Because we recorded Jordan's a while ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Birth stories are my favorite to listen to on anybody's podcast, so I'm excited to hear yours.
Yeah, and my birth story is not even like, if you're like coming into this episode nervous that I'm going to trigger you, I really didn't have like a terrible birth, like nothing bad happened. I think it was just I was so uneducated that like when you go into giving natural birth, it's like a holy shit moment because nothing prepares you for that intensity. But like overall, my birth was like pretty fast. So if you're like a new mom scared, my actual birth isn't that bad. The only thing I would say is triggering is just like the before parts, like pregnancy, I really scared the crap out of myself. So I'll kind of talk about that. But like other than that, like my actual birth isn't triggering. So you can stay around for like a successful hospital birth if you want.
Okay, well, let's get into it. So we know you were in college when you found out you were pregnant. You found out you got pregnant in February, found out in March. Can you tell us like how you found out? What made you test?
Yeah. So me and I had a group of, we were the three best friends, and we all had our cycles synced together because we were literally having sleepovers every single night. We were always with each other. These are my best friends, like it childhood growing up through college. And we all had our period the same week. Like we'd always get it on the same week. And so I randomly texted them one day and I was like, have you guys got your period yet? And they're like, yeah, we had it last week. And I remember I was laying on my couch in the exact moment. I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, is this why my boobs have been hurting? Because like, I know some people say like their boobs hurt when they are about to get their period, but that had never happened to me. So I was like, this is weird. Why do my boobs hurt this month? And then when I texted them, I was like, hey, have you gotten your period? And they're like, yeah, we got it last week. I was like, I knew in my heart that I was pregnant. So I texted Chase and I was like, hey, I think I need to get a pregnancy test. So I remember I went to Target, got the pregnancy test, took it to Chase's college house. For background story, Chase and I have known each other for 4 months at this point. We met in October. Yeah, on his birthday in October, October 20th. So yeah, we hadn't known each other long. We're seniors in college. We have been drinking heavily all the time throughout my senior year of college. So like, if anyone's on here listening, they're like, I feel so bad. I didn't do any prep work. My kid is made off of tequila and Bud Light. So yours will probably be fine too. And synthetic prenatals, but I'll also get into that. So anyway, I peed on the stick. I left it in the bathroom and then I made Chase check it because I was like, I can't do it. So he walked in the room and he was like, it's positive. Actually, I think he said we're going to be parents or something. And I just instantly had a panic attack, bawled my eyes out, called my sister. And she had just had a baby the month before. She had a baby in February. So she was like, oh my gosh, what are you going to do? Like, what are you doing? And obviously, we decided to keep him. But yeah, so that's how I got pregnant. So from the start, I was kind of, everything happened so quickly. So I like didn't have the mindset going into pregnancy. Also, I was emotionally immature. I was 22. I just turned 23. So yeah, it just didn't start out hot. But yeah, I had plans that when we graduated in May, I was going to move to Colorado with my sister to be her nanny because she just had a baby in February. So I moved to Colorado in May and I lived there until like June or July. I was supposed to stay out there all summer, but like my anxiety got so bad that I remember I called my mom like bawling and I was like, I have to come home. Like I cannot do this. I feel like I'm foreign to my own body. And so I moved home in like July and my anxiety just kept getting worse and like worse than I had like ever experienced before. And I was like starting to have physical symptoms, but I didn't know that it was related to that. Cause like my pregnancy in itself wasn't bad. It was just my mental state that was bad. Like I had like morning sickness for the first 6 weeks or whatever. Like it wasn't terrible, but then just like, and then honestly, I just told myself I wasn't pregnant for the longest time. I was just in denial. And like, obviously I wasn't drinking or anything, but I just like told myself I wasn't because I didn't show until I was like 6 or 7 months. Mm. So like nobody could have known. I could have Kylie Jennered everyone and just like showed a baby to the world. But anyway, yeah, my anxiety started to get really bad. And I remember I like went to my OB for the first time and I was like, yeah, like what prenatals do I get on? And she was like, any will do. And I was just like, that seems suspicious. Like there's got to be a better brand than others. And yeah, it turns out my intuition was right. But anyway, I went and bought the Walgreens, like Nature's Made, has folic acid, you want folate. I bought like the crappy fish oil pills that like probably were rancid. Like I just did all the wrong things. Mm. So like very different from Jordan. I had zero prep work or like prenatal care. And then my anxiety actually got so bad in like June or July that I just completely stopped taking the prenatals altogether. So like I wasn't taking anything for my pregnancy. And then
you weren't eating, right? You were just eating Cheerios and
yeah. So my anxiety got so bad to the point that I stopped eating and I only ate one bowl of cereal a day. And that was only because I was like, I'm scared I'm going to kill the baby. And like, I remember vividly telling my mom, like, I think my baby is going to die because I'm so stressed because I like kept reading about like, if you're stressed, your baby's stressed. I'm like, oh my gosh, like my kid is going to be so messed up. So yeah, I would eat one bowl of glyphosate Cheerios a day at night. And like, I wasn't scared to gain weight. Like I actually lost a ton of weight in pregnancy because I wasn't drinking anymore. I was just scared of having panic attacks. And like also going from being someone who like drank all the time to being sober, it was like very, it messed with my mind a lot because I couldn't be like, I'm anxious, I'm going to have a beer. It was like, oh, I have to be sober and face my anxious thoughts. So that just like kind of became too much. But also then I kept like having intrusive thoughts of like when we would go out to eat, I would be like, what if they accidentally gave me alcohol, not knowing that they gave me alcohol, and then I'm giving my baby alcohol. So like I would just start panicking about these things. And then it turned into like the food, like what if something's wrong with the food? And so, yeah, I just kind of stopped eating altogether. Yeah. And then like I would go to my OB appointments and they would always be like, yes, like the baby's not growing or we can't find the heartbeat or we need to do stress tests. And it was just like every time I went, it was something else that's traumatic. And honestly, looking back, I think it was they were just running these tests because I was on Medicaid and they knew that like I didn't like nobody was going to question it. My insurance wasn't going to question it. Medicaid was just going to pay it. So like they were every time I was going in, there was something wrong that needed to be dealt with. So like I was under constant stress tests. At the end, I was going 2 times a week for stress tests for like, I think they're like 2 hours each or something. I don't know. It was just like super traumatizing for me as someone who like became already mom unexpectedly. Yes. Yeah. It was just like very traumatic. And then at like my 34 week appointment or 32, I went for an ultrasound and they said that they found a tumor on his brain. So I was like, oh my gosh. And like my anxiety was honestly not even, my anxiety was so bad that I didn't even care about, this sounds bad, but like I was in such survival mode that I just wanted to live. Like I was scared that I was going to die. So like when they said that, you know, most moms would be like nurturing, be like, my baby. But I was like, what about me? Like, what's going to happen to me? So anyway, they sent me to the state's largest hospital in Iowa and I had to get an ultrasound there. And they were actually like, yeah, that was a piece of dust on their equipment. Like, you don't have, your baby is fine in the brain. But they said he had umbilical vein varices, which means that, like, the cord could clot and then he would be a stillbirth. So they were like, we have to induce you at 37 weeks. And I remember my dad took me to that appointment and I looked up at my dad. I was like a little kid. Like, I just started sobbing because I was like, I don't want to be induced. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. But like, obviously, I'm sure a lot of moms feel this. But like, when you're about to give birth for the first time, you're like, I don't want to do it, but you have to do it. So it was just like a super traumatic experience. So I switched to that hospital, which was an hour away, because I just didn't trust my OB anymore. Because I was like, if you guys keep getting this stuff wrong, like, I don't trust you to deliver my baby. So I switched to my care to University of Iowa. So I had to be induced, and they ended up doing it at 39 weeks just because they kept saying, like, they were like, he keeps growing, the cord is okay for now. So anyway, I remember driving up to the hospital to be induced, and like, you know how most moms are excited, like, can't wait to meet my baby. I was like, screw this. I remember being in the car, like the impending doom feeling of like, I do not want to do this. And like, I think most moms are like, can't wait to hold my baby. Like, they like envision like holding their baby for the first time, like, you know, all of that. And all I could think about was like, I want to go home. I can't do it. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, it was like reality hit me in the face so hard. No, go ahead.
I don't think people with anxiety understand like the feeling you just want to run away from all of these feelings, and you're literally in survival mode. You're not in your right state of mind. And so like, to someone who hasn't had anxiety, you're probably listening to this thinking like, how horrible, or like,
she's a horrible mom,
stuck it up or something, you know. But it's, you are not having cohesive thoughts at all.
Yeah, no, I was in complete survival mode. Like, I couldn't focus on anything else. So yeah, if you're like listening, you're like, oh my God, she sounds terrible. Honestly, I'm just glad you don't resonate. You don't feel the feeling. Yeah.
I will say though, I did not have the same pregnancy as you, but I think it was a very normal feeling for you to have like fear of birth. Like you said it, like, you're so scared of it and you have to do it. I had those same feelings. It's like, you're trapped almost.
You're literally trapped in your body. Yeah.
You have to do it. You don't have a choice. It's claustrophobic, like, to think about. This baby has to come out, and you know, there's no other way around it.
Yeah, for sure. And that was like the first time, I think, like, you know, like before that, I was just like a shithead in college. Like, I didn't really have any like responsibilities. I kind of just lived in the moment always. And this was like my first time being like, wow, I'm a grown up. So we drove to the hospital. I was panicking the whole time, just impending doom, did not want to be there. And
were your parents with you?
So my sister lived in Iowa City at the time. So my parents went to my sister's house. Chase's parents also like went and stayed there. And then, no, actually, me and Chase drove separately, but I made my parents and my sister's just go sit in the waiting room, even though I hadn't even been induced. Like, usually when people get induced, it's like, could be days. I was like, you have to stay. You cannot leave. Like, I felt like I was a kid again. Like, that's how bad my anxiety was. Like, I just wanted my mom. So we went to the hospital. I think we got there at like 9 p.m. And I just like told them, hey, I'm having a natural birth, because I wasn't even crunchy at the time, but I was scared to not feel my legs, because I get like claustrophobic. So I just knew epidural wasn't for me. Didn't do any background research on like how to handle natural birth. I literally just freeballed that birth. I just remember my friend Jen telling me, surrender to the waves of the contractions. Like, she said, like, picture like you're in the ocean, you know the wave's about to hit you. Instead of like tensing, just go with it, and like, you'll be able to come back up for air. So that's the only thing that was my only tool, my tool box.
She forgot to tell you though that, well, it's good she didn't tell you, but induction contractions are not like natural contractions.
Yeah. Yeah, they're way more intense. So I would like to say I'm absolutely a badass for doing that with zero education. And I just freeballed that birth. And I'm sure that hospital never wants to see me again for how much I was screaming. But yeah, I think I walked into the room and I was just like, I just want you guys to know that I'm doing this 100% natural. Like, I'm not taking Pitocin, because I did read that like Pitocin can up your chances of C-section and intensive contractions. So I was just like, what are you going to do? Because I'm not allowed, like, I do not consent to you guys giving me any type of medication. So the doctor was like, well, I don't know. And luckily I had a nurse who was like, actually, you could pump to like make your body think that you're in labor or have already given birth. So I pumped, and then they did the Foley bulb, which is just like this little balloon thing that they insert. And then like slowly it just gets bigger and bigger. And everyone says that hurts so bad. I didn't feel a thing. I don't know if it was adrenaline. I don't remember ever being like, I'm in pain. And I remember I got like, I dilated pretty quick. Like things went really fast. I want to say that happened at like 12. Barrett was born at 9 a.m. And I think first they inserted the Foley bulb and like we just waited a couple hours and then we did the pumping. And then once we started the pumping, I remember like I started to feel contractions. So they're like, okay, back off the pumping and just wait. And then they did pick up on their own. My water broke. And I remember like everyone always says like, did I pee my pants or did my water break? And I always think like when people used to say that, I'd be like, what do you mean? Why would you pee your pants? Of course your water broke. But I literally was like, I like remember like looking down and then looking at Chase and my doula. I did have a doula. I don't think she like helped that much, honestly. No shade to her.
Was she a hospital doula? Or
yeah. And no, I mean, I had hired a doula and that girl mm-hmm. couldn't do it anymore. So she gave me a mm-hmm. referral, but I was this girl's first mm-hmm. client. So looking back, I wouldn't have been her first client, but you know, whatever. I remember looking down and being like, did I pee myself? And the lady was like, no, I bet your water broke. So it did. And then it was like smooth sailing. Like I was having contractions, but I remember going to the bathroom and like looking at Chase and being like, why do people get epidurals? Like, no, like I was thinking in my head, like, no offense, if you get an epidural, you're kind of a baby. And Chase was like, I don't like, I'm sure it's going to get more intense. And I was like, probably not. I was at a 6. Anyway, I hit transition. I've never been more humbled in my entire yeah. life. That was like the most intense feeling ever. And I think I blacked it out kind of because like I can remember how it feels, but time at the time felt like it went by so slow. But I think when I hit transition to when he was born, it was max an hour. Like everything just happened so fast. But I remember my doctor saying, or my nurse saying, this doctor that's delivering you has never been around a natural birth. Because I asked her, I said, like, what? I was like screaming in pain and not knowing that I was in transition. And obviously they didn't either. And I remember her saying, how much longer? And she was like, probably at least a couple hours. And I was like, I will die if I have to keep going like this. And then she walked out of the room and the nurse was like, no, I think you're really close. Like she's never been around a natural birth. So the doctor left. And then my nurse was like, she's never been to a natural birth. So she doesn't really know what she's talking about. She said it nicely, but I just remember thinking like, you guys, what? This is the largest hospital in the state of Iowa. And no, none of you have seen a natural birth. Anyway.
That's insane.
So yeah, it made me feel so uncomfortable. Just like, I felt yeah. not safe.
Yeah, why would she tell you that? Safe. I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, so between the time that she told me it was going to be a couple hours, I think I gave birth max an hour later, but I want to say it was more like 30 minutes. I just remember her checking me and being like, you're a 10. And that's when she said it would be a couple hours, is when I was a 10. And I remember thinking, hell no, I'm pushing now. So I just started pushing.
Did your body feel ready or were you
no,
just...
nothing felt ready. My head felt ready.
You were ready
to be
done. The
pain felt ready. Yeah, I just wanted to be done. And I remember I started pushing and I specifically felt the ring of fire and thinking, no way a head is about to come out of me. Like there is no way that is physically possible. And they told me to like reach down and feel his head and I did. And it was so small. And I just like remember thinking like, even though this head is so small, this can't not be happening. Like I cannot do this. Anyway, I kept pushing. He came out. I had a second degree tear because I just like pushed him out so fast, even though his head was so small. I think when they measured it was in like the 6th percentile or something. Like he was tiny. But yeah, he came out and I was in literal shock. Like my body was shaking so badly. I thought I was having a seizure because like I was convulsing. And obviously I didn't know what was going on because I didn't read about birth. So my nurse was just like, totally normal. Like it will go away, blah, blah, blah. And obviously I didn't know anything about like delayed cord clamping. So they just had Chase cut that thing like 5 minutes after he was born, if that. And I have pictures of it. Like I feel so bad because you can just see that the cord was not ready to be cut.
It was like, probably 30 seconds. I mean, it's a long time for a hospital.
Really? Yeah. It was really fast. And I like look back at pictures and you could tell that that thing was not ready to, but luckily he didn't have jaundice or anything. But yeah, I also never planned to breastfeed. Like I wanted to feel normal again so badly. I had zero education around breastfeeding. I thought, and this sounds like so, this is how uneducated I was. I thought that breast milk and formula were just the same. Like, I didn't know that there was a nutritional difference. So I was like, of course, why wouldn't I why wouldn't I just give formula? Like, and like my sister gave formula, and like nobody I knew breastfed. So I was just like, yeah, I'm giving formula. But the thing that changed my mind is I pumped to induce. So I had pumped like a lot of colostrum. And I remember the nurse being like, do you want to give him that colostrum you pumped? And I'm so glad that she said that, because then the doctor was like, no, it's not good anymore. But it had only been sitting out for like 2 hours max. So that's how I know that my labor was so fast, because like by the time I pumped the colostrum to the time I had the baby was like within max, I don't know, 2 to 4 hours. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I remember like feeding it to him for the first time and then just being like, I have to breastfeed. I just felt like it was my calling. So I tried to breastfeed. He had like severe tongue and lip ties. They went unnoticed. So nobody knew that he did. So like he wouldn't latch. So I just pumped, and I pumped for 2 years actually. That was a very humbling experience. Honestly, if I have any haters in the, if I had any haters in the past, I just want you guys to know I was so humbled the past 6 years. Like, you don't, that my karma got me. Pumping was like a nightmare. Nothing, like being a mom came easy to me. Like I'm like so nurturing. I like tended to every cry. Like I didn't ever get overwhelmed by him, but just like nothing was easy for me. Like breastfeeding, I couldn't breastfeed. I paid like hundreds of dollars to have a lactation consultant come to our apartment, and like she couldn't even get him to latch. And then I took him to like a dentist to see if he had the ties, and they went unannounced. So yeah, everything just that could go wrong went wrong. But yeah, all in all, if you're a new mom and you're scared to give birth, like I made that 1,000 times harder on myself than it actually had to be. Like it was actually such smooth sailing. And I'm so glad that I did a natural birth, even though like it did kind of traumatize me, the pain. But like I'm just glad that I did it, because I'm scared if I would have had complications like that, I for sure would have never had more kids. I didn't want more kids until like Barrett was maybe four. I was like, oh, maybe I want more kids. Like before that, I was one and done. And not even like, I love being a mom, it's my favorite thing, but I just didn't want to give birth ever again. I wanted to adopt, like, and I still want to adopt, but like down the road. But like I had no interest in having my own kids ever again, because that was just a traumatic experience. But when I look back, like I made it way worse on myself than it actually was. Like I was never physically in danger ever. I think the danger was like only in my head.
Yeah, it definitely was. Did they make you push on your back or?
Yeah. And they had me, this was actually like torture. They made me stay on the bed because they wanted to do the monitoring. So like I was hooked up to the bed. And at one point the nurse felt so bad that she was like, I'm going to take it off. And like, I'm going to let you walk around the room, because I was literally confined to the bed, like trying to go through contractions. And like my primal instincts, if you ever want to know, like the closest thing people have probably been to primal instincts is like when you're super sick or have the flu and like you literally just like would do anything for your body to feel better. Like that's how I felt in the moment. Like it was just like my body just took over and did what it wanted to do. Yeah. But I feel like that's the closest thing I can like describe it. I remember she did let me go sit on the toilet, like sit backwards. I know you said you hated that. Mm-hmm. I think I liked it. Just to like be able to get up and walk around. But I think that also made things so much worse for me is I was confined to the bed. Yeah. And then I pushed on my back. And I bet that also had to do with the tearing. Mm-hmm. Like if they would have let me give birth standing up, I feel like it would have been so much better.
Isn't that so crazy how you said she let me go to the toilet? She let me, or if they had let me do it standing up, but like they can't, you can do whatever you want in the hospital.
Yeah. And they like just didn't know, obviously. Yeah. They made me feel like I was like a prisoner in their like territory, but really I could have told them anything I wanted to do and they had to have let me.
That's when your doula should have stepped in, probably.
Yeah, see, that's why like I don't remember my doula ever being like a voice for me, which is fine, whatever. It was her first time. It was my first time giving birth, so I didn't know what to expect. But yeah, I definitely, looking back, like I felt like a prisoner, and like I had to just do whatever they told me to do. I didn't know that like legally I could do whatever I wanted to do, because I think it would be a lot better if I just did what was like instinctive to me.
Yeah it is. I mean, yeah, our bodies know what to do, and your body was just trying to survive at that point, but it would have done it on its own for sure.
Yeah, the other thing I like remember, I'll never forget this, I was screaming so loud because I thought it would like distract me from the pain I was feeling. I was screaming so loud that I actually thought that they were going to kick me out. of the hospital. Like, that's how insane it was. And my mom said that they could hear me from the, like, all the way down the hall in the waiting room. Like, it was like Chase's mom, Chase's dad, Chase's sister, my mom, my dad, my sisters. Like, everyone could hear me screaming.
They were probably so nervous. Was your throat sore the next day or after?
Yeah, my throat was sore. And also, I could not walk properly for probably 4 months. Mm. Like, there was just so... Did you, like, feel a ton of pressure in your butt after birth?
Yeah, I vividly remember telling my midwife, when I cough, it feels like my vagina is going to fall out of my body.
Like, yeah, I felt like my butt was going to fall out of my body. Like, it was the craziest thing I'd ever experienced. I, like, specifically remember that pain. Everyone always says, you can forget the pain. Not me. I can, like, specifically recall the exact feelings.
Well, when you said you maybe blacked out a little, I think that was because after we give birth, especially when you're doing it naturally, the hormones sort of is like a wash. Like, it kind of, like, erases so that we do have more kids. It's like a an evolutionary thing.
They should have washed more for me because
it's not quite enough.
Yeah, I can specifically remember how it felt, but yeah, I would have just done so many things differently. And like I said, like, my birth was like, that was kind of like an ideal birth for people. Nothing went wrong. Like, I did get to kind of do what I wanted. It sounds so bad to say. I could have done whatever I wanted, but like, just them, like, not pushing the epidural or Pitocin or anything like that. Like, I was very shocked that, because I feel like a lot of women always say, like, their doctors kind of like say, like, you can still get the epidural, there's still time, but like, nobody ever brought it up to me. That's which good. Was nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I, like, remember I met the what are they called, anesthesiologists.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he came into my room and I was just like, I do not want it. Even if I say I want it, I actually do not want it, so don't give it to me. And I like have reactions to medications anyway. So I just knew it was in my best interest, like, stay away from anything, because that would have just caused me more anxiety. So I just kind of rode it out. But I feel like when I first found out I was pregnant and decided not to have an epidural, every single person besides my mom told me I couldn't do it. Like, everyone was like, why would you do that? Just get the epidural. Or like, oh yeah, you say that now, but you'll want the epidural. And
or good,
like,
luck,
I remember,
with that.
Yeah. And I remember being like, you guys are so rude. I don't even want to give birth as it is. And now you're trying to scare me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you put your mind to it, you can absolutely do it. And I also want to say that, like, once you feel to the point where you're like, I can't go on, this is the worst. Like, you're in transition. You're about to mm-hmm. have your baby. Like, you're already to the finish line. So just keep that in mind when... Mm-hmm. You feel like things are getting super intense, like you're at the end for sure.
Yeah, you hear stories all the time where they get epidurals at the last minute and then they have the baby minutes later and then they just can't move for, you know, 5 hours after.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think if we were more educated on what the stages of labor, then we would be, so many more women would feel more equipped to give natural birth because...
Yeah, I definitely recommend everyone take a birth class.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's so many online good ones
so
now.
Many.
What one did you do?
I did, it was called Mama Natural. Mama Natural is what it was called.
I always hear the hypnobirthing one too. What one is that?
There's a bunch of different hypnobirthing ones.
Yeah, I don't remember.
There's,
I don't,
like,
know.
Pain-free birth and...
Yeah, that one.
I know hospitals even offer free classes a lot of times, and... It might not be the best, like, when it comes to telling you your rights and everything, but it will tell you, you know, the anatomy of what's happening.
Yeah. And I actually did, I signed up for those classes, but I think I went to one or two, and then I was just like, this is too much. Like, you guys are triggering me just talking about birth. So I stopped going. But yeah, that was an extremely wild ride. And I look back and I just made it so much worse on myself than it actually was. So I feel like if you're pregnant or you want to get pregnant, educating yourself on natural birth, it just will set you up for success because anyone can do it. You don't have to have a high pain tolerance. I think I do have a high pain tolerance as it is, but like, I think anyone can give natural birth if you are educated.
And there's, no medical complications. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Did you do therapy through your pregnancy at all, or you just raw dogged it?
I did do therapy. I specifically remember, like, sitting in my therapist's office being like, I don't think I can be a mom. Like, how am I going to take care of a baby if, like, I can't even, like, get myself out of bed? And, like, not even because I was sad. Like, it wasn't like depression. It was like I was so anxious. I couldn't do day-to-day tasks. So I was like, how do you expect me to take care of a kid? And she kept saying to me, like, Mirky, I see dozens of patients a day, and like, your case does not scare me. Like, she's like, you are fully equipped. This is just all in your head. Like, she's like, nothing is physically wrong with you. And at the time, I remember like thinking like I understood her, but like, it just didn't make sense to me. But now looking back, I'm like, yeah, she was right. Like, she kept telling me, like, your symptoms are just anxiety. Like, it's not something bad is happening to you, but it didn't feel like that. And I remember her like just telling her like do I give it up for adoption? Like, what do I do now? And like, because that was honestly a thought in my head at one point. I was like, I think I have to give him up for adoption. And then I was like thinking, like, my sister can just adopt him because she just had a baby. But yeah, I just like didn't think I could be a mom, but look at me now.
Great mom, crushing it.
My mom.
I think back to my college friendships, and I don't know how they would have survived if I had gotten pregnant in college. So how did your friendships hold up?
There was never like, you know, falling outs where it's like, I hate you, you hate me. But like, I don't talk to 95% of the people that I used to, which is crazy because like, they were like, you know, childhood friends through grade school, college. But like, I look back and a lot of it was my fault too, because when I'm like anxious, I go mute. I do not respond to anyone. I do not text back to anyone. I will not call you back. I will not hang out with you. So that was me for like 5 years straight where I just ghosted absolutely everyone. Like, even my best friend Bridget, who like, you know, and I've like talked about, like, I didn't talk to her for almost 3 years, like not even a hi, because I was so overwhelmed. I was trying to survive. I was trying to not die, because I like at points in motherhood, like, my anxiety was so bad that I just like could not go on, and I couldn't keep friendships. I still like, obviously, like, I have, you know, my softball best friends that we talk every day. One of them's Crunchy Mom Kayla. But yeah, like, most of my college friends, I don't really speak to anymore. And that's like not really their fault or my fault. It was just like, they were still in like college hangout mode, or like, you know, college, they were going into their own first careers, but like, they were still able to go out on weekends. And it's like, I was pregnant and then a new mom. And like, I just kind of lost all interest in doing anything except being a mom. So yeah, my college friendships, or like high school friendships, all those kind of like fizzled off, but not saying it's their fault. It's just like, when it's life. It was just life. We were just going different ways. And, yeah, it's just, it's really hard for me to maintain friendships when I'm like in such survival mode.
For sure. Anybody in that state would have a hard time.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you get pregnant tomorrow, what are you doing differently?
If I got pregnant tomorrow, I would do absolutely everything differently. I would find a midwife that could help me with, that would like allow me to do home birth. And I would just like stop stressing about the small things. Like, I got so fixated on like, no sushi, no deli meat, no this, no that. And like, it like caused me so much anxiety to the point I stopped eating. So, and like, that in itself is horrible. So I would just like chill out, honestly. And actually, I've thought about this. When I'm like married and trying to have a baby, I don't want to take a pregnancy test. Like, I would just like, because I think I have such bad PTSD of like looking down at that pregnancy test and seeing that I was pregnant. I would rather just like, obviously my period will stop and then I'll know, but like, I don't want to like, I think it will be triggering to like read a pregnancy test. Like, I would rather just know that I'm pregnant and just go with it. And like, I don't know, like the holistic mother, she's pregnant again. And like, she basically said, like, I don't really do prenatal care until like the second trimester. So I'd probably like contact a doula or contact a midwife. I would call Jordan and tell her. I would just chill out, because my first experience was like super traumatic, and I would just want the complete opposite for my next.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I wouldn't take synthetic prenatals.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Avoid folic acid.
Yeah.
It's my 2 cents. So would you let Barrett be at your next birth?
Yeah, my ideal next birth is at home. I want my friends, like my home birthing crunchy mom friends there. So like, you know, Jordan, Kayla, I would want a doula. Jordan can be my doula, but like, I would want another doula in case Jordan doesn't get there in time. And just like, yeah, calm. Like, I want to be surrounded with people who are familiar with home birth and it's like they've done it before. Mm-hmm. 'Cause there's actually a lot of people in my hometown that like do home births. It's just kind of like not super talked about, but like so many people I know and so many of my friends in my hometown do home births. Like it's nothing. So yeah, I would just want to be surrounded with people who like know that it's the norm. And I wouldn't want anyone there that like second guessed or questioned it. Like if they didn't feel comfortable, I wouldn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. My friend Kayla, she was going to do a home birth at first and she asked me if I would come to it. And I was like, I honestly think I would ruin your experience because my anxiety will be so bad because of my experience. So I was like, I don't want to be there for your first, but like hopefully for your second. So yeah, now she's planning a home birth for her second and I would love to be there for her. But like I knew like I wouldn't want someone there that was doubting me. So I just was like, yeah, I cannot be there at your first.
Did you just spill the beans that she's pregnant? Or?
Yeah, but she'll announce by then because this episode's not going to come out for like, what, 2-3 months?
I was wondering because she did ask me the other day how I kept my birth pool warm. And I was like, why do you need to know?
She's so funny for that. She would ask you that. That's like a problem in 8 months. She's literally just found out she's pregnant. Aww. Like she was like, I think she was like 3 weeks when she texted me. She's like, dude, I just took whatever those strip tests are. And she's like, and it came back with the 2 lines or whatever. She's like, I think I literally like just got pregnant.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So she's probably like, what, 6 weeks now, 7 weeks.
It is a beautiful thing to be surrounded by just women who have not only done it before, but support you. I remember when I hit active labor, all I wanted was to be around feminine energy. I could not want anything to do with my husband, who I love dearly, and I wanted him there through the beginning stages of labor. But once things picked up, I just naturally gravitated towards the feminine energy. And I think that's how it's meant to be.
Yeah, for sure. And I did the exact same. I was totally fine with Chase until like I hit transition and I was just like, like, no, don't talk. Yeah. I think I actually told him to please shut up. But yeah, I agree. I think our bodies just know what we want. And I think it's normal. Like, I think we are meant to be birthing with our community around us.
Yeah. Have that wisdom and knowledge that's been passed down all of the women that came before us gave birth, right? So
yeah,
their spirits are there, whatever. It's just like all the knowledge carried down, and you want that.
Yeah, exactly.
And did you find out the gender or did you wait until he was born?
We did the blood test and I think we found out at 10 weeks. And I really wanted a girl. And I was so sad when people are going to listen to this episode and be like, this girl is terrible. I was just like envisioning being a girl mom. So like, it was like when I found out it was a boy, I was kind of like mourning what I had, the baby that I thought I was having. You know what I mean? But now I like love being a boy mom. I love to have more boys. I just would also like to eventually have a girl. But yeah, I was kind of sad. What about you?
Well, wait, do you think if it was a girl, do you think your pregnancy would have been different? You would have been...
I think I would have been able to connect maybe better with the baby. Because when I found out it was a boy, I just like couldn't grasp. Like, I couldn't envision me being a boy mom. So I was just like, I don't feel a connection to the baby. And honestly, I should probably mention this too. My anxiety was so bad. I didn't have like a loving connection towards Barrett. Like, you know, when people find out they're pregnant and a lot of women are like, I just fell so in love with the baby and I love them so much. Like, that wasn't me at all. And I'm only saying this to kind of like, if anyone else is going through that or if anyone else does go through that and like, to not feel that bad, because like obviously I was still doing all the things right. Like I cared about what I put into my body. Like I was so hyper aware of like, obviously I wanted the best for him, but like I just couldn't feel a connection. And I think that connection didn't come until like after he was born. Like even at first when they like laid him on my chest, like I didn't feel like an immediate high of like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to get to be a mom. Like that didn't come for months for me, but like I still obviously like love and took care of him like it did. Like I never let him cry, and I was like always so nurturing.
Kicked in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was so maternal, and like I always, you know, was carried him around 24/7, and we bed shared and I breastfed and like all the things. It was just like I didn't have that like I had like such a love for my niece when she was born, and I was expecting to obviously have that for my son, but it just like took a little bit longer. And I think it was just like my adrenaline needed to come down before I could like fully embrace like, oh, I love you so much. Like, you know, it's weird.
I think that's actually super common, super normal. I think like Hollywood and TV and books have like romanticized this like immediate, you're supposed to feel this way. And like, you feel so guilty when you don't, but it's very normal for it's, even when the baby's born, some moms don't even want to grab their babies right away. You just need a moment to like come back into yourself. And it's not an instant thing.
Yeah. I think we really downplay our feelings, and then like we make moms feel bad because they're like, I didn't feel this way that like this person felt. But like most people, I think it's normal to not like have like such a instinctual like love for the baby right away. Cause like we just went through something traumatic. Like giving birth is like, you know, traumatic, especially your first time, I feel. So yeah, if anyone else feels that way, you're not alone. Jordan, did you have gender disappointment?
Really bad. Really, really bad. Yeah. I waited till birth to find out the gender. One, because you don't get many opportunities for a surprise like that. But two, I just knew if I was having a girl, I would be so sad during pregnancy. And I did. I had a girl. And I was really, really sad for probably a month. I could cry thinking about it. I was like, I just had horrible thoughts, which I know is like postpartum and everything too. But you said it's like my whole life I envisioned just being a boy mom. You envisioned a girl mom. Yeah. And so you're just like, I didn't know what to do with a girl. I was always a tomboy, and then you just feel so bad for having these horrible thoughts. And
did you feel like you could like love better if it was a, you know what I mean? Like, were you scared you couldn't love her as much?
For sure. Yeah. I really, like, we always made jokes how I would always just love someone. I don't want her to listen to this one day and think I don't love her. But like, yeah, we would make jokes like, oh, I'll never love a daughter like I would a boy. And I remember like even back in college, I used to say like, oh, I would be devastated. Like I would harm myself if it was a girl. Oh so God. Yeah, I obviously love her more than anything. And now you can't imagine, you know, your life without things the way they are. But yeah, I was shocked it was a girl because I just wanted a boy. And it was hard.
Yeah, it's crazy. But then like I would never know that because like you do just have like such a love for, you know, it's just like you have that instinctual love. It's just.
Yeah. And people, I remember over Thanksgiving, I was telling my family about how I wanted a boy. And they were like, that's a horrible thing to say. I hope she never hears you say that. I'm like, that doesn't take away from how much I love her. I just was sad. I had always just envisioned myself with a boy. And gender disappointment's very real. And I hope anyone listening feels better that they went through it, that other people also go through it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you're not like sad that you had the baby. It's just like, you're sad that you're not having, like you're not playing out what you thought was going to happen in your head.
Listen, when we chose to have a baby, I knew there was a very high chance that I 50-50. Would have a girl. And I accepted that. Am I the type that will probably have 10 kids until I have, if I have 10 girls, I'm going to go for a boy. Yeah. Because I've always envisioned it, but now I hope to give her a sister one day. Like I definitely, it's fun. We can match. We can do girly things. You made me feel a lot better about it because you sent me like cute reels of like daughters and moms doing things.
Oh, every time I see like a cute reel of like a mom saying like, I can't wait for, and then that will show like, you know, nail dates, getting your hair done, matching outfits. And I always send them to Jordan because it's just so fun. Like I don't have a girl, so I can just like watch Jordan be a girl mom. And she can watch me be a boy mom.
Yeah. I am jealous still, but I still, people can be jealous of me too. I think part of it was I was like a really horrible teenager to my mom. We fought all the time. And I'm just like, oh, I don't, I'm scared of that. But, you know, I'm going to break the cycle and do better. So.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I wanted a girl so bad because like my mom and I are like best friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, we obviously butt heads and like. I just always envisioned like going like my mom's love language is like shopping or giving gift giving and like words of affirmation. And just like we are like, I don't know, I literally still sit on my mom's lap. Like that's how close my mom and I are. So like I was envisioning that with my daughter. So then when I found out it was a boy, I was like, ugh. But also, Jordan, the good thing about having a girl is like a lot of the times, not always, but like I feel like whoever you're girl marries, like you're always closer with home. The girl family. Yes. And like when I had Barrett, that was like at the forefront of like, oh my gosh, like I'm gonna be the mother-in-law's side. You know what I mean? And like so that I think that like crushed me the most is like I always want my kids to come home to
girls
me,
come home like, for the holidays.
So you at least won that one.
Yeah. And my husband, bless him, he's like, if it's a son, he's out at 18, but our daughters can stay with us forever. I'm like, perfect. Fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so cool to watch Larry be a girl dad too. I feel like he's so good at it.
Yeah, he is, for sure. Were your parents, I mean, you were in college, you were young, were they supportive? What were their reactions?
Yeah, my parents are angels. My mom, I told my mom first after I took, obviously Chase was there when I found out, and then I called my sister, texted my best friend, and then I went home to my mom. And I just remember, we have this plant, we still have it, and it only blooms like when a major event happens, I swear. Like when my grandma passed, one bloomed, and then when my grandpa passed, one bloomed, and then it hadn't bloomed since. And my mom, I was standing in that room with my mom. She was like, oh my gosh, there's three flowers that bloomed. What do you think the third one is? And I just started sobbing. And aww. I was like, I think I know. And then I was like, I'm pregnant. And she was so kind. She like gave me a hug and was like, it's going to be totally fine. She's like, you want to go shopping? Like, you want to go to Target and like pick out baby stuff? She's like, it's totally fine. Which is big because like I come from a Catholic family. So
yeah.
And then I didn't tell my dad. I made my mom tell my dad. I went to... Chase and I went to his family's house, and I had my mom tell my dad that weekend just because I was like, you know, it's your daughter.
Yeah.
You know, dad wants that. And I like still have the text, but my dad texted me and was like, I'll cry thinking about it. But he said something along the lines of like, these things happen all the time. You know, I'll always be there for you. Like in 5 years, your life could look completely different, like in a good way. And so, yeah, I just remember like, my dad was so kind to me, and like nobody ever made me feel like, because I like internally, I felt so embarrassed, and like, I just felt like people weren't actually happy for me because like, what? Yeah. No 22-year-old has any business getting married in college, or I mean, yeah, having a baby in college. So it was like, I just felt so like guilty and embarrassed. But like my parents were so nice to me. I like they would bring up the baby because I think they like probably knew that I was like, I just didn't know if the vibe was like, can we talk about it? Can we not talk about it? My parents just like normalized it, like talked about it, told people like, you know, we're welcoming. So that helped a lot. I probably would have gone off the deep end. If my parents shunned me, I would have died. And like Chase's parents were super kind about it. I remember I like bawled in front of his parents. So I was like, I'm so sorry. And like his mom was the same. She was like, I'm so excited. Let's go shopping. And like
grandma.
yeah. Everyone was just kind. And like, I know some, that's not always everyone's story. So thankfully I had that going for me because I didn't have a lot else going for me.
Now that I'm a parent, I don't know how parents can just cut their kids off.
Never. I can't think of a single
thing.
Yeah, I think about that all the time, actually, is like, if you can't unconditionally love your kid, you shouldn't have kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never talked about this before, but my brother has a really bad drug addiction. And for years, I looked at my dad and his mom, and my brother's mom, and I'm like, how were you still like supporting him and loving him? And I cut him off. But now I'm like, okay, I get it.
yeah. You'll do anything.
How could you,
for your kid,
even if they're, you know, going through such dark times, like you need to be there for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it's an unconditional love. Yeah. Like even on days where like Barrett, you know, gets on my nerves or I feel like I'm like overstimulated, I'm just like, I love you so much. Like,
yeah.
Or like I want a break, but then like 2 minutes later, I'm like, no, let's cuddle. Like I just, you just love the crap out of your kid. It's the craziest feeling in the world.
I know. I'm sure one day she'll look at me and be like, I hate you. Like teenage days. Yeah. And I'll just be like, okay, I just I love you. Okay, great.
Yeah, right? I still love you. Yeah, it's wild. And it also gave me such a deep appreciation for my mom because like, I think me and my mom were always super close, but like me getting pregnant, I like worship the ground my mom walks on because my mom has four kids. I have one. And like I can't, like my mom just has so much on her plate and she still does. And we are grown adults. Like I just, moms are literally superhumans. And I think once I just had such an empathy and like, it was just like such a mind altering, like love for my mom. Cause I was like, you have loved me unconditionally, even when I was like a huge brat. So yeah, definitely brought me and my mom closer for sure.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. All right. That concludes my birth story. I think I feel like I covered it all bases, but I'm sure in a little bit I'm going to text Jordan and be like, oh, I should have talked about XYZ. So maybe we'll do a part two later of like things we forgot to add. Yeah, and we should also do a Q&A soon of like questions surrounding birth for people to ask us, and then we can answer them. Because, yeah, I feel like we could talk about this for hours because I feel like we just like skim the surface of things. But it would be great to go in a Q&A. So be on the lookout for that. And yeah, thank you guys for joining. We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye. That's it for today's episode of Moms Unbothered. If this conversation made you think differently, question the norm, or even just feel a little more empowered in your health journey, do us a favor. Share this with another mom who needs to hear it.
If you're loving the show, the best way to support us is by leaving a quick review, subscribing, and connecting with us on social media. It helps us reach more moms who are ready to take back control of what goes in, on, and around their family. We'll be back next week with another conversation. But until then, trust your instincts, question everything, and stay unbothered.